to God, who always causes us to triumph in His name. Thanks be to God, who always causes us to win. Yeah. Thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in His name. Thanks be to God, thanks be to God. We have overcome, hallelujah, hallelujah. We have overcome by the power of Your name. Jesus, You're the
victory in Jesus.
Amen.
We are victorious through Him. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The only way I can be assured of winning, the absolutely only way I know that I will be on the winning side, is if I stay in line with Jesus. He's victorious. I'm thankful there's victory in Jesus, and as long as I'm in Jesus, guess what? I got victory. Everything's going to be all right. I may be going through a struggle right now. I may be in circumstances that I don't wish upon myself. But guess what? There's still victory in Jesus. There's still victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. We love You. We praise You. We honor You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through him we are overcomers, the Bible says. We're more than conquerors. Not just a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I want to say a sincere thank you to all those that helped make our harvest party last night a great success. I want to especially thank, I know they won't hear this, but I just think it's good that we give honor where honor is due. And I know they're downstairs now working hard with the children's ministry, but Sister Connie Atkins and Sister Robin Atkins just put in a lot of hours, a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of prep and set up, and I think that we would be all right, even though they can't hear it per se, that we would applaud them in their effort and what they've done. They worked and worked and worked and set up, and many of you, they kept commenting as I was complimenting them on everything that was happening and how smoothly it was going. The one thing that both of them repeated more than once is, well, Pastor, we've just had a lot of help. We've had a lot of people that have come and offered their time, and so we thank you for that. We thank you for helping us make it a success. We will, at the conclusion of service this morning, we will do the drawings for the gift baskets. And it was good to walk down there numerous times last night and see kind of a whole new group, if you will, about 50 some. And I don't know how many we serve, somewhere in the neighborhood of around 300, I heard somebody say, that came through last night. So wow, what an awesome time and what an awesome opportunity. I had opportunity to converse with a few people. They asked me what time we had services. And so you never know. You never know how a community event like that can reach someone. And so we thank you for that. Just by way of announcement, I want to remind you, there is no service tonight. November has a fifth Sunday, and we have chosen, because of all the hard work and effort, I know many here are exhausted and have spent a lot of time and effort in preparation, so there will not be a PM service here tonight, and just want to remind you of that. Also, men, if you are interested in going to the men's conference happening the 13th and 14th, please see Brother Gary Piles and let him know. He is kind of putting it all together. We need to know if we're going to have enough to warrant using the van. If we do, that's fine. Well, I'd love to have to use the van. That'd be great. I know there are some that are working in the area. It's happening at Tinley Park. The flyer is back there on the bulletin board. But if you are a man in this congregation, I strongly encourage you to go and be a part of this this great conference. It's completely free. There is no cost, no registration. They do take up an offering, and I encourage you as pastor to go with some money to give, to be a part of helping and supporting that this great conference. And then we often go out to eat afterwards and just have a good time of fellowship on Friday night. If you can go both Friday and Saturday, that would be great. But even if you can only make one of those times, I would still encourage you to go and be a part of that. The speakers and the lineup is there on the flyer in the back. Stuart? Certainly. All right, in case you didn't hear that, that Friday night, the 13th, ladies, if you would like to join in the fellowship, they are planning to fellowship and meet. Are you going to meet here? Are you just going to probably meet here and then drive over there? Obviously, be welcome to use the vans as well. So if you have any questions about that, you can see Sister Sue Ann, Sister Christy, and they can help you in that. Why don't you stand to your feet? Before we get into the word of the Lord, I believe, Sister Christy, did you have something you said you would like to say concerning? Jesus' name. All right. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Facilitating. Isn't that amazing? I want to give the Lord a hand clap of praise. It must be frustrating for the enemy when he thinks that he is getting a leg up or he is somehow advancing his kingdom against the kingdom of God, and then all of a sudden God just reveals his power. God just shows, listen, I can even make you work for me. I'll make you facilitate the building of my kingdom. We serve that kind of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles and you would be so kind. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, begin reading in verse number 20, just two verses of scripture. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Read those two verses of scripture again. Moreover, the law entered. The law came on the scene. The law entered that the offense might abound. That we might be aware of how offensive we are. The law revealed. Paul said the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. The law revealed. When the law entered, it revealed how offensive we are. How unholy, how unrighteous, how imperfect. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Everybody say this with me. So might grace reign. That as sin is reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon that subject. So might grace reign. So might grace reign. I don't know about you, but I know every day of my life I'm increasingly knowledgeable of my need for grace. And that grace comes only by Jesus Christ. That grace works in me and through me as I work, as I respond in faith to what Jesus Christ has done for me. So might grace reign. I want grace to reign in my life. I want grace to reign in my life. So might grace reign. Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, God, for all that you are and all that you do. I thank you for those that have gathered here this morning to hear your word, to be encouraged, to be uplifted, to be fed from on high. Lord, I pray that we would leave here with the words of this message, God, permeating our heart and mind, God. Lord, that we would understand, God, and have a better and greater understanding of your grace. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. So might grace reign. Whatever the enemy has, God has something greater. I'll say that again. Whatever the enemy has, God has something greater. Whatever power evil may wield, the goodness of God is far superior. Sin, while strong and killing, is no match for the power of grace to make alive and to quicken. For while sin may reign unto death, as the Bible says, grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. The Lord and those with Him have always been and will always be victorious. You see, good is greater than evil. Right is greater than wrong. Love is greater than hate. And grace is greater than sin. Where sin doth abound, sin does have power, and sin does, to some extent, have some dominion. Where sin doth abound, and if we stop there, we can be somewhat daunted in the understanding of this world and the sin that it is in. And we can look at it from a negative standpoint and say, oh my goodness, what in the world is going on? And I, like you, often look at our environment and the society in which we live, and I shake my head and wonder in amazement as to how we have grown so far from the goodness of God. But lest I be discouraged or lest I be depressed about the current situation of this world, I need to understand that sin doth abound, but grace does that much more abound. See, there is no one under the power of sin. Let me say this again. There is no one under the power of sin that cannot get over it through the power of grace. This is not to say that sin is not powerful or that the consequences for remaining under its dominion and being ruled and reigned by it will not bring death. For as Brother Gary said, and he quoted the scripture, for the wages of sin is still death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift is greater than the sin. The gift that God gives is worth more than the debt of sin cost. And so it more than compensates for the debt of sin that was owed. But the reality is, as we read the Word of God, as we look into the Word of God, we understand that, as the Bible said, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. You see, the law reveals the load and weight of sin unable to be lifted by human hands. The law entered that the offense might abound, that we would be made aware, that we would understand that in and of ourselves, in our own ability, we would never be able to lift the load and weight of sin. We would in ourselves always fail. We would not be able to do what was required. If you read the law, you will understand there are 613, yes, 613 commandments in all the law. There are 365 thou shalt nots and 248 thou shalt. James said, for whosoever, James 2:10, shall keep the whole law and yet offend in any one point, he is guilty of all. On, that doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair that I could get 612 right, miss on 613, and as a result be guilty of the other 612. That doesn't seem like it's justified. It doesn't seem like that should be the way it is. But the Bible lets us know that no matter how good we may think we are, no matter how we may try in our own effort, the weakness of our flesh, the weakness of who we are in our humanity, makes adherence to the law absolutely impossible. And so then sin is thus imputed. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, everyone his own way. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We're not able to stand, for we are unholy, imperfect. We are unrighteous. We do not have in and of ourselves the ability, the Bible says, for the law was weak in the flesh.
see, the flesh was weak and not able to lift the load and weight of doing the whole law. And so something stronger than flesh had to become flesh to lift the load and to bear the burden. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was light, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What are you talking about, John? What are you saying? I'm simply making you understand that there had to be something that could somehow, some way, lift the load and the weight of sin that was thus imputed because of the law. There had to be something that was stronger than the flesh. There had to be something that would allow and facilitate once again reconciliation between divinity and humanity. And so John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father. Catch this. Full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him, cried, saying, this is He whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness, catch this. And of His fullness have all we received, grace for grace. Of His fullness we all have received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus came into the world, when He was made under the law, when the fullness of time came and God sent forth His Son made under the law, the whole game changed. Here is one full of grace and truth. Here is one who had the fullness of the Godhead in Him bodily. Here is one who was Son of God and Son of Man. Here is one who was full humanity and full deity. Here is one who is able to bridge the gap to reconcile the world unto God. Here is one who is full of grace and truth. One, the only, the Word made flesh, making possible and giving unto us all that we have received grace for grace. And now, because of Jesus Christ, and now because of His sacrifice, and now because He was without sin, and now because He was the Word made flesh, and as the sacrifice, as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, as the only appropriate and sufficient sacrifice to be a propitiation for your sin and for my sin, now, catch this, now we have the power to lift the load and the weight of sin from off our backs. Now we have the power to stand justified before God. Now we have the power, because our sin and our iniquity was laid upon Him, because we through Him have righteousness, and through Him have holiness, and through Him have perfection. Now we, through Jesus Christ and what He has done, I no longer have to struggle under the power of sin. There is something stronger. There is something greater. There is something more wonderful. There is something that far exceeds the power of sin. And where sin doth abound, grace does that much more abound. Where there is wrong, there is more right. You see, in this I know, in this we must be aware of, the only way that sin has its way is if I let it. I'm going to say that again. The only way that sin has its way is if I let it. Because God has given me the power to overcome it. God has given me the power, grace for grace. God has given me the power to live above. God has given me the power not to live in sin. God has given me the power to live righteously. God has given me the power through Jesus Christ not to be a slave or a debtor to sin anymore. And And so if I serve sin, and if I willingly choose to do sin, it is not because sin has power over me. It is simply because I have acquiesced. It is simply because I have let sin reign. I have given sin the power that God stripped it of. I, in my own choosing, in my own willingness, if I continue in sin, that's why the Apostle Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It should be dead to you. The power of sin has no strength. It has become weak. Now, you and I, and I know that when I speak along these times, I know we sometimes look at this and say, is it really? Can that be true? Yes! The only way that sin has its way is if I let it. That's why he said in Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't let it. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness or unrighteousness. You know why people yield their members as members of unrighteousness? You know why people participate in sin? You want to know why people give in? Catch this. It's not because there's not power to live over. It's not because Jesus Christ has not provided the way for you and I to live above it. It's simply because they yield themselves. It's simply because, let me just say it. People who participate in willingly continue in sin are weak. They're just continuing in the weakness that has always been through the flesh. They're just unable. They say they're unable, but in themselves they are. But they are not if they understand that through Jesus Christ, they can be more than conquerors. If they can understand that I don't have to live in this way. I don't have to do these things. I don't have to yield my members as members of unrighteousness. I don't have to give in. I don't have to do this. I don't have to live like this. I don't have to be addicted. I don't have to be distressed. I don't have to be living this lifestyle. I don't have to be doing these things. See, one of the greatest truths we can ever reveal to those who decide to live a different lifestyle, whether it be alternative in their sexual orientation or whether it be alternative to the things of God and just continuing to live in sin, the greatest thing we can ever tell them is simply this: there's something better for you. There's a better way for you. There's a way that gives you power to live above that. There's a way to get you over that. There's a way to get you beyond those addictions. There's a way to get you beyond those orientations. There's a way to get you beyond those feelings and emotions that you think have you bound up and wrapped up. There's a way to have power over it. There's a way to live above it. There's a way not to yield yourself to it. There's a way where you don't have to give in to it. There's a way where you don't have to tip the bottle. There's a way where you don't have to take the drag. There's a way where you don't have to participate in that. There's a way where you don't have to get in that bed and do those. There's a way! Because while the temptation is there, he has always, with that temptation, given a way of escape. And I tell you how we escape and how we do not yield our members as members of unrighteousness. Catch this, but yield yourselves unto God. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's not the devil and all his power. It's your weakness and unwillingness to submit to God. That's strong. In Jesus did what he did on Calvary. He stripped the devil of his power. And now the only way he has power is if you and I give it to him. And we allow him. And we yield our members as members of unrighteousness. And so when we give into that temptation, and when we give into that lust, and when we do those deeds that we know are wrong, what we are simply saying is that I don't believe that Jesus Christ has empowered me with enough power to live above this. Well, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Because if I truly believe that he has given me the power, if I truly believe that his grace, his fullness of which we have received grace for grace, gives me the opportunity where I don't have to yield my members as members of unrighteousness. I don't have to be subjected and submitted to the things of this world. But yield yourselves under God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Catch this. For you are not under the law, but under grace. I want to say it again. For sin shall not have dominion over you. If we are living in sin, or we are participating willingly in sinful activity, it is simply because we have yielded ourselves to it, and we have given it dominion and power that God stripped it of. And I know that's straight preaching. We need to understand. As long as we submit unto God, grace has dominion. Catch this. Where sin doth abound, grace does that much more abound. As long as we submit unto God, so might grace reign. I tell you how grace reigns. It's through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the way that I overcome and the way that I don't yield myself to sin is by yielding myself unto God and submitting unto him. Grace for grace. Let's not get grace twisted. Grace has a balance and a reign that must be maintained through righteousness. Jude chapter 1 verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who before of old were ordained into this condemnation, ungodly men, catch this, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, lewdness, fleshly desires and lust. The kind of preaching that says you do what you want to do and live how you want to live. Grace covers it all. That's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. This cheap grace, this free, just grab it when you want it and when you need it and then live how you want to live. That's not the Bible. That's not the Word of God. Grace teaches me. Grace gives me the power where I don't give in to my fleshly lust, where I don't give in to my desires and my human nature. Grace gives me the power not to participate in lasciviousness. Those that would step up and proclaim to be a preacher of the gospel and say that it's good grace and you just don't have to worry. You just serve God and let grace cover it all. I tell you what is happening. We are in that attitude and in that mentality. We are denying the only Lord God and his power. We are denying his ability to give us power to live above it and live over it and not be subjected to it. See, we should be cautious about the liberties wherein we can be led. 2 Peter 2:19, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. The reality is, while God has, through grace, given us the ability to be free from sin and its power, there are those many who still are overcome by sin. And it's not because the power of God is not there to help them. It is simply because they will not submit to the power of God. And in their own pride, and in their own desire, and in their own fleshly lust, they desire to do what they want to do, and they yield themselves, their members as members of unrighteousness, and they give sin power. God stripped it up. Don't get quiet at that point. And so that means that I live perfectly. That means that I don't ever mess up and I don't ever make a mistake. No. See, that's the other side of grace that gets preached wrong too. Somehow grace is earned by what I do. Catch this. Grace is somehow based upon my works and how good I am at being good. How I follow the rules and regulations. See, don't get grace twisted. Don't let it be all liberty, but don't let it be all legalism either. There's a balance. There's a reign in righteousness. So might grace reign. How? In righteousness. Because if we get it too far the other way, look what Paul said in Romans 4, 4 and 5. Now, to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. I'm trying to work my way out of sin. Catch this. I'm trying to work my way out of these impulses and these desires and these temptations. I'm trying to do all I can do. Oh, there's something to be said for effort, for I show you my faith by my works. And we are created unto God a good workmanship. We are created unto God unto good works. And yes, we should do those works, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodliness or the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Seems like you're drawing two completely different parallels. And yes, that's why we understand grace is the balance. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Grace is the understanding that I cannot in and of myself ever do all that I need to do or be all that I ever need to be. I understand that, but nor in that revelation and understanding then do I just decide to yield myself and my members as members of unrighteousness. No, I understand that I've received of his fullness grace for grace. And where sin doth abound, grace is that much more abound. So my grace reign. Now I can, through the power of God. Look at Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I realize it in my humanity. Many times when I want to do good and I do it not. I'm not making excuses. Please understand this. I'm not getting up and using a platform in which to say, you're just, whatever you decide to do, it's acceptable. No. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is in my flesh, that is in me dwelleth no good thing. And that I often, when I want to do good, I find that evil is present with me. And there's a struggle between my will and the will of the Spirit. There is this carnality that I deal with. There's this back and forth. But I realize in this, even when I mess up and I make mistakes and I miss the mark, and I don't make the grade, I understand I do not frustrate the grace of God. Don't frustrate his grace. For if grace come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. No, but I understand that with his help, he overcame it. With his help, I won't have to make this mistake again. With his help, I won't have to live in this. With his help, I won't have to be bound by this. With his help, I won't have to live under this dominion. With his help, I don't have to let this sin reign in my mortal body. With his help, I don't have to do this again and again. With his help, I can repent. I can confess and move forward. And the grace of God is there. And I do not frustrate his grace. Nor do I take it for granted. See, that's the balance. So might grace reign. So might grace reign through righteousness. You see, I show you my faith by my works. I have faith that God gives me the power to live above sin. That's why when I mess up, I decide I don't want to do this again. I want to live differently. I don't want to be brought under this thing anymore. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things profiteth. All things are lawful unto me, but I don't want to be bought under the power of any. I look into this perfect law of liberty and I understand that God's grace does not give me license just to live how I want to live and do what I want to do, but God's grace gives me the ability to live like Jesus did. God's grace gives me the ability, though I'm imperfect and though I don't have it all right, guess what? It's been easier than baptized into Christ. You've put on Christ, and I can put on His holiness, and I can put on His righteousness. So might grace reign through righteousness. Catch this. This grace of God we teach and preach about in a scripture that I use all the time. See, I understand that Jesus Christ gave His perfect, law-fulfilling life for me. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ gave His perfect, sinless, spotless, holy, perfect, law-fulfilling life for me. Guess what? Jesus never offended one point of the law. Never. He lived perfectly. He never sinned. He didn't get 612 right and miss 613. Jesus fulfilled the entire law. Every thou shalt and every thou shalt not, Jesus fulfilled. You see, He did what I could not do. Why? Because He had the Spirit of Almighty God in Him. And there's no fellowship of darkness and light. And so, if you could understand the beauty and the significance of the incarnation of Almighty God in the man Christ Jesus, that He fulfilled every point of the law on all 613, He was perfect! Sinless, spotless. And He gave His perfect, law-fulfilling life for me. Now, grace has a lot to do with my response and appreciation for what He's done for me and the power that He has given to me. Lest we forget, Titus 2:11-14, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And here's what that grace does, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. All iniquity. And purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Catch this. Zealous of good works. See, I want to reveal to the world around me how grace reigns. So might grace reign through righteousness. all this is going on in the world. Yeah, so might grace reign through righteousness. But you don't understand the world in which we live and all the sin. Yes, I understand. But where sin doth abound, grace is that much more abound. So might grace reign. How will you reveal that grace reigns? I'll tell you how I will reveal that grace reigns. Through the power of Jesus Christ empowering me to live soberly and righteously in this present world. Reveal in my lifestyle, in what I do, and how I live, that the power of God that gave Jesus Christ, the man, the ability to live a perfect, sinless, holy life. So the Apostle Paul could say, so let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What are you saying? I'm saying that if we could ever understand and bring into captivity every thought under the obedience of Jesus Christ, we can through the power of the Holy Ghost, not in and of ourselves. So might grace reign through righteousness, and the life that I live, I now live through the faith of the Son of God who gave his life for me. See, he gave his life for me. Why then should I just live mine the way I want to live it? Closing, you can stand to your feet. So might grace reign. See, I want my life to be an example of reigning grace. And I mean that both ways. I want my life to be an example of grace that comes down from God on my behalf. But I want my life to be an example of reigning grace. The righteous life I endeavor to live. Not in my power, not in my ability, through my submission to Jesus Christ. So I don't let sin, therefore, reign in my mortal body to fulfill and obey it in the lust thereof. How do I reveal that grace is reigning in me, that I've given grace dominion? Romans 6:11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. How do I let the world know grace reigns in me? Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. So my grace reign. People would know I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, I mess up. But I don't live in those mistakes and I don't live in those mess ups. I don't continue to live in sin that grace may abound. God forbid. I reveal that grace reigns in me because I overcome it. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ my Lord. And I have the power through God. There's something I'm attached to in my life that's causing me to sin. Something that I connected myself to continually causing me to mess up. As long as you continue to stay attached and bound by it and to it, you'll yield yourself as a member of unrighteousness. But the moment you understand, through the power of Almighty God, I can bring this. You told me the other day as we were working up here, you realized when you came to God that some relationships had to go. People that you hung out with, there was some connections, there was some bondage there that had to be done away with. People come to God and say, how can I do it? How can I do it, preacher? How can I got family that don't believe like that? And I've got friends, I've got relationships, I've got associations. How do I do it? You won't be able to do it on your own. But if you will get before God and say, I need your power. I can't be brought under dominion of this thing anymore. I can't go and hang out and be a part. I can't be connected to this anymore because it will bring me under bondage. And so, Lord, I need your help. Help me to make the break. Help me to do what's necessary so that I'm not connected to what's causing me to yield my members as members of unrighteousness, and help me to show that by the grace of God and the power of God, grace can reign in my life, and I can deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly and righteously in this present world. And so every day of my life is another journey with me in grace. Every day of my life is another opportunity for me to say, so might grace reign today. So might grace reign today through righteousness. So might grace reign today through my right choices. So might grace reign today in me as I endeavor to live my life faith of the Son of God, and by my works reveal unto all around me that grace reigns in me. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for your grace. The song is true. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Not a cheap grace where I just accept what Jesus Christ has done for me and then just live my life any way that I want to live it. No, a grace that says I'm so grateful and I'm so appreciative that I'm no longer made a servant of sin, that I'm free from sin. And so I willingly and zealously, I become a servant of righteousness. I become a servant unto God. I yield my members as members of righteousness unto God.
An empty place, if died for grace.
Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for your grace. It brings salvation. Thank you for your grace. It gives me opportunity to be right standing with God. Thank you for your grace. So my grace reveal that I don't have to be a slave to sin anymore, that I don't have to live a life yielding my members as members of unrighteousness. Lord, I love you and your will. I love the sacrifice that you gave for me. And so I, in my lifestyle, I show my appreciation. I don't put anything else before you, God. I don't give anything else preeminence in my life. I put you in your rightful place, so my grace reign.
How sweet the sound. I once was lost.
If you're We're thankful for the grace of God. Why don't you raise your hand? Why don't you lift your voice and tell him, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for grace. Now so my grace reign. Now so my grace reign in my body. Now my grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. I realize the wages of sin is death, but I also understand the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so in appreciation of that gift. Such a way that it reveals how grateful I am for grace. Let my life be led in such a way that others would know how grateful I am of grace. I might mess up. I might make a mistake. Yeah, I know. I make them too. But I get back up and I press toward the mark and I say, you may have got me this time, but next time, so might grace reign. Next time, might I reveal the ability I have through Jesus Christ, my Lord, to live above it and not be bowed under the power of it. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your... Where would I be? You only know. And I'm thankful. That moment, that opportunity I had when I came and I knelt before you. And now it's something that I do on a daily basis. Not out of obligation or requirement, but out of an appreciation and love for what you've given unto me. Thank you for your grace. So my grace reign. So my grace reign. Thank you, Jesus. This is not in any way, shape, or form a negative message. I hope that's not the way you feel, but it's positive in the sense that I have the power through Jesus Christ, my Lord, to no longer be a servant of sin, no obey sin and the lust thereof by giving in to temptation. I, and through the power of Jesus, let grace reign. It has more power than sin. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, can you lift your hands, lift your voice? Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Let my life show how appreciative I am. What I do and how I live, say, so my grace reign. So my grace reign. Final verse of scripture, Romans 6:22. But now, being made free from sin, become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Now I've become a servant of God, and I'm bearing fruit unto holiness, not in and of myself, but because I'm allowing grace to reign. Now I'm able to bear fruit unto holiness in the end thereof, is everlasting life. Lord, what you have for me is so much better. For those who live in sin, for those who willingly yield themselves as members of unrighteousness, I would that they would know there's something so much better. In the end thereof, not only is there fruit in this life unto holiness, not only are you better, but there's a better end. There's everlasting life. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So my grace reign. Before we let you go, we would do want to draw. And was there any kids up here? I thought maybe Sister Connie was going to head up here at the end. Macy, could you run down real quick and see if they're able to come up? I want to let one of the kids draw. You may be seated. We won't take very long, just a few moments. Brother Max. I've seen the wickedness of this world take some people and utterly destroy them. I've also seen the goodness and grace of God take someone who was wicked and torn apart, disheveled and fragmented in every way. And I've seen the grace of God come into their life and make them new. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are big papers, so I'm not really sure how we're going to do this. This is the adult bag, and then we'll make sure whoever wins the basket gets, we get it to them. Sister Day, you stood there, and you facilitated this. I'm going to let you reach in there and got to have the name and address, some way we can get the basket to them. All right, very good. Looks like a Jocelyn on Wilshire Drive in Sandwich. Oh, very cool. Very cool. All right, they send, all right, Austin, come on, bud.
Whoops, dropping leaves. It's fall. That was a bad joke and nobody laughed. Ah, a Valerie Johnson here in Sandwich. Even got an email address and an address. Very cool. All right. Why don't you stand? We will make sure these individuals get these. And we will take these names and addresses and put them into a database and be able to send them information as to when we're having stuff. And what a great idea in being able to get information from people. It didn't cost them anything. All they had to do was take a few moments and put down their information, and then they were eligible to win. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here at your house today, to hear your word. Pray that it has enriched our lives. Help us, encourage us, strengthen us, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise and thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and yes, your grace. So might grace reign in our lives. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord today. You may go in Jesus' name. Daughters of Zion, I do want to remind you, Daughters of Zion, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock here at the church, first Monday of every month. And I encourage you to come be a part of that in praying together, ladies praying together.